Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, it is the most wonderful time of the year because it is World Junior Championship time.
World Junior Championship, 50th anniversary, right, Adam, of the tournament. Kind of amazing. I mean, we've been doing this now for, what, 15, 16, 17 years with this tournament, so it's been a lot of fun. It's going to be in Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota this year. Games taking place at 3M Arena on the campus of the University of Minnesota and Greg Cassino Arena, home of the Minnesota Wild. The United States, they enter as, the two-time and defending champion here, looking to win three in a row for the first time in their history. Canada wants to avenge, a second straight fifth-place finish last year in Ottawa. We know Sweden has a real deep team this year, right, Adam? But still pretty amazing to think with all the talent we've seen over the years, they only have two gold medals to kind of show for it. Most recently in 2012 in Calgary, courtesy Mika Zibanejad. Finland has won three gold medals and should pose problems for Canada and the Czechs in the Group B field. And the good news for Canada is the last time the juniors were hosted by the States, which was in Buffalo in 2018, they celebrated gold. So it's going to be interesting to see if Canada can bounce back and get to the medal stand. The USA is in Group A with Sweden, so that should be a dandy of a bracket as well, Adam.
Yeah, it's going to be a treat. All games are available on NHL Network in the United States and TSN in Canada if you want to watch. I highly recommend it. It is some of the best hockey you will see, featuring some of the future stars of the NHL. And we're going to have Stephen Ellis on from DailyFaceoff.com to talk about the tournament. But, Mike, you touched on it. Who's going to win? Something's going to happen that we don't predict, that we can't see coming. You know, you mentioned the United States and their three-peat attempt. Not sure how that's going to go for them. A little bit of a different team this year. And fun trivia, they have never won the tournament when it's been held in the United States. All seven of their victories have come in Canada or in Europe. But it's going to be fun. I still think Canada looks like the best team. We say that every year, it feels like. But this year, it feels like they really are the best team. And they get to start right off the hop with Czechia, the team that's eliminated them both times in the last 2 years. That should be fun. Right, get it right. Pull that Band-Aid right off for the Canadians.
Absolutely. They want to get right back. And I spoke to Gavin McKenna about this. And speaking of McKenna, right, I'm like, this, obviously we know what the word has been. And, you know, is he going to step up in this tournament to really make it, give everyone a knockout punch as far as where he's going to go in this draft? He wants to have a real good tournament, I think. We expect him to have a real good tournament. Canada has a pretty solid lineup here with what they're going to throw out. It looked like, you know, at one point during training camp, Dale Hunter had, McKenna with Misa. He also had him with Hage and Brady Morton, which was a fantastic line to start. Martone's been on his line. So it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic here and what Canada is able to bring forth in their quest to finally get back to the medal stand. A lot of top-tier NHL prospects in this lineup, Adam. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I think, again, all eyes are going to be on McKenna. And I think we both expect him to have a real, real good tournament. But we'll talk to Stephen Ellis about that more.
Yeah, we'll save our predictions for a little bit later in the show. But for now, let's bring in Stephen Ellis. Stephen Ellis from Daily Faceoff, thank you so much for joining us on NHL Draft Class. It is the most wonderful time of the year with the World Juniors here, is it not?
World Juniors, Spengler Cup, like there's just, and got NHL in a couple days. So yeah, this is the best time of the year. I love it. It's chaotic, a lot of hockey, but there's a lot worse things to do in the holiday break than watching a lot of hockey.
So let's get right into it with the World Juniors. Gavin McKenna feels like he's going to be the spotlight player coming up here, most likely a top-line role at the World Juniors. He still looks like the best player available for the 26th draft, but does he need like a big breakout, maybe not a Connor Bedard-level breakout, but does he need a big tournament to silence whatever doubters are out there?
I asked him about that, and he said, yeah, he thinks that he needs to go out there and have a big tournament to really prove himself. And I think if he stuck in the WHL and put up 150, 160 points, like everyone knows he was probably going to be able to do, he'd be the undisputed number one. But going to college and playing against older competition, both him and Keaton Verhoeve, I think is just really important for his development. And I think watching him in these first two pre-tournament games, I thought he was one of the better players in that first game against Sweden. Obviously a little more of a rough one in that second game against Sweden where he scored on his own net. But I think overall what we've seen from him is just a guy that has so much skill, who can really change a game. I my concerns about him not being, you know, super effective away from the puck, I think a lot of people share those concerns. But from what we've seen with the puck, few guys could do what he could do. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up with one of these explosive, like, 15-point tournaments. I don't think he's going to do what Connor Bedard did, because I don't think anyone's going to do what Connor Bedard did in 2023. But if he gets 15 points, that's hard enough on its own. But I think with the guys he's going to be able to play with, that's very, very possible.
Along that same path, Steven, and because there's going to be so much focus on McKenna in this tournament, I noticed you, as do Adam and I, we have McKenna number one on our draft boards, and you have him one on your most recent rankings. What's the reasoning behind your evaluation? I know you touched on it a little bit there, but is he far and away the best prospect in this draft class, or is that still to be determined here?
I think there's still a good argument for a few other guys, but when it comes to McKenna, like, if I had to pick any player in this draft class to go out there and score a big goal in a big moment, it feels like it would be McKenna. And I think with him, like, that's kind of like Michael Misa was for me last year, a guy that can go out there and just get these goals because he's dialed in, he's laser focused, but he's got the natural skill to pull it off no matter the adversity. And I think we saw that up close at the 2024 U18s, where he scored four goals in that final game to erase that deficit against the Americans. It was unbelievable hockey and one of the most exciting games I've ever seen. What an electric atmosphere. And watching it from there, I know that was essentially close to 2 years ago now at this point, but that's kind of just shows you what he's capable of. And you watch him in the WHL and even at points in college, where if we're giving him some extra credit here, it's not exactly a loaded team that he's playing with. Like, Penn State doesn't have a ton of future NHL superstars on it. So he's had to go out there and do a lot of heavy lifting on his own. And I feel like he's done well, just not as well as a lot of people expected. And I think Ivar Stenberg has a very good argument to go very high. He's having an unbelievable season in Sweden. But talking to some scouts at that the Kitchener game, I know Stenberg didn't play, but some scouts still told me that they think he's just, they're worried about his transition physically. Is he going to be able to handle the physical nature of the NHL? I think he's going to be fine. Then you look at like a guy like Keaton Verhoeve, he's got a huge argument too. Physically, he's massive. He's got the hockey sense and the mobility, and teams love big defensemen. But I still think the upside's the highest for McKenna, just the most natural skill. And you see what someone like Connor Bedard's been able to do with all his skill this year. So, I still think it's McKenna number one, but I think it is closer than most expected heading into the season.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. You know, he could stay in Medicine Hat and have 75 points in 30 games. And does that make him somehow markedly a better player? I don't think so. Going to college, it was the right move for him. He needed the test. But speaking of test, you know, the World Juniors, there's always going to be somebody that sort of sneaks up on you. We all talk so much about Canada and U.S. I look at what Czechia is coming to the tournament with. The guys they have coming back, they won the bronze medal last year. Can they be a surprise team if you know, Canada's probably going to go in as the favorite? Where does Czechia sort of stand on your prediction list? Could they be a surprise gold medal team?
100%. But I think actually watching them in the pre-tournament was a little concerning. You watch them against Latvia. They needed overtime to beat Latvia, a team that you think they would be able to win against. And they just edged Slovakia last night. In the end, they only scored five goals in those pre-tournament games. They allowed three. Like, they weren't exactly a powerhouse team, but they still showed what makes them really dangerous. And I think it's that defense corps there. You got a guy like Adam Juracek. I expect to play a lot of minutes. Rudy Mirka is going to be very good. And that's just kind of the start there. They've got a lot of CHL players. I think close to what, almost 20 CHL players on this roster. That's a lot, 11 from the WHL. And I think what they bring this team compared to a lot of other teams is just a lot of speed throughout the lineup. They should be a difficult team to contain. And I wouldn't be surprised if those games against Latvia and Slovakia were were just them trying to figure things out. But then you see them come flying against a team like Canada in that first game, because we know that rivalry has become very big the last couple of years. So I think I have them as a definitely contending for a medal there. I think they're more a bronze team than a gold team. I just, you know, we'll see kind of what Sweden could do out there. But I think with the way the Czechs, their lineup is built, that might be one of the deepest Czech teams they have ever assembled at this tournament.
Yeah, the Czechs have medaled three straight years, of course, finishing with bronze their last two. They won silver back in 2023, and they're looking for that first gold since winning back-to-back in 2000 and 2001. So it's going to be interesting to follow the Czechs and see what they're able to do here. All right, Steve, let's talk Team USA. There's eight on the roster who played a part in the 25 gold medal performance. 20 players are currently competing in the NCAA. 19 appeared at least one game with the USA National Team Development Program, including James Hagans, Teddy Stiga, Max Plant, defenseman Cole Hudson. What's your outlook for the Americans? And curious to get your thoughts on 26 draft eligible D, Chase Reed of Sault Ste. Marie.
This American team is not as deep as it's been the last few years. And now that we know that Trevor Connolly was one of the cuts due to injury, I think that's going to leave a big hole on that team, because he looked like he was going to be one of those second line wingers that was going to produce a lot. But overall, I think the fact that guys like Riker Lee and Will Zellers have shown up to look really good this season and also in the pre-tournament is really promising there. I think you're going to be really banking a lot on guys like Hagans and Cole Hudson in particular to be those rocks for this team. We know Hagans was the number one center last year. He'll be that again. He'll likely play with Teddy Stiga, one of my favorite prospects in hockey, just due to his work ethic out there, just always trying to win every single shift. I think the fact there's a lot of that built-in chemistry with the NTDP is very important. I think they just don't have that pure depth that they did last year or the year before. I think 2 years ago, we were looking at that team being maybe the best world junior team the United States have ever put together. Last year's team, very strong too, obviously the two gold medals. I just think it's going to be a bit harder to pull that off this year. I just don't know if they've got the same depth Canada, Sweden, and in some situations the Czechs have.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think the U.S. three-peat attempt is going to be, it's going to be a challenge. But you look at Canada. Are they the team to beat? You know, it's dangerous to say on paper they look like they have everything they need for a championship run, because it looks like every year you could say that about Canada. You know, they have, but this year they have the top end skill. We talked about McKenna a little bit. You know, he's going to play maybe with Misa and Martone. You know, they have, it looks like, pretty good goaltending, whether it's Carter George or Jack Ivankovic. You know, are they the favorite in your mind? And I guess to kind of tag on to that, who would you take as a starting goal? You had the chance to watch them in the pre-tournament game. Would it be Carter George or would it be Ivankovic?
I do think Canada enters this tournament as a favorite. So when you're looking at the fact they could leave a guy like Merrick Vanacker off, the top scorer, the top goal scorer of the OHL, and then you could leave off a top 10 draft pick in Jake O'Brien just because you have too many top six forwards. Like, that just shows you the depth this group has. And I think you mentioned the goaltending. It might be harder to find a deeper goaltending situation than what Canada's bringing this year in terms of what they usually bring, where it's like, can anyone be the starter? In this case, they have too many starter caliber goalies, because there's also Joshua Ravensburg, and we do expect he'll be the guy that does get cut. But he could be the best goalie Canada has ever cut at this tournament. Like, that's the thing. It's a really good group there. If I'm making the choice of who the number one is, it's got to be Carter George. I think if Ivankovic, you know, his time is next year. He's got one more World Junior year eligibility left. With Carter George, I don't think he gets it because he's older, but I think he gets it because of his body of work. And Ivankovic's been outstanding in the NCAA this year. But then you look what George has done. It's easy to look at the stats and be like, oh, well, he's having a rough year. He's playing on an Owen Sound team that just doesn't have a lot of depth in front of him, especially on defense. And he has to go out there and bail them out a lot. And you look at how he played in this tournament last year. You look how he played with the Ontario Reign in the AHL. You look how he looked in like the rookie tournaments in preseason with the LA Kings. And then he also played a couple games with Canada ahead of the World Championship last year and looked really good against men there. I feel like that's one of the most strong mental goalies I have ever watched play. He said that when he allows a goal, he starts smiling. So watch for that when that happens, because for him, it's just he's just got to move on to that next goal and move on to the next play. And I feel like that ability to bounce back better than most goalies should give him the edge. And I will also say, just while we're talking about Team Canada, as a Canadian, this might scare some people, but I actually hate the goal song with a passion.
It's kind of crazy, right? Zane Parikh, Hage, McKenna, Rechne, Martin on that top power play unit for Canada. And the fact that we're talking about possibly Canada having the best 1-2 punch in goal is something unusual, right, guys? It's not often we talk about that, but it's good to see. It's good to talk about. Now, Canada has gone obviously three straight tournaments without a medal only once, from 1979 to 81. So they are fired up for this tournament. We'll see what happens. Sweden's also loaded, Stephen, for this tournament, but it wouldn't be the first time we've seen a stacked roster for the Swedes entering the tournament that somehow comes up short. We've seen this before. Where do 26 draft eligible forwards Ivar Stenberg, Vidar Bjork, defenseman William Håkansson sit on your draft card? And what do you think of the country's makeup here for the tournament?
All three of those are first round prospects, in my opinion. I know with Bjork, he kind of fell a little bit in my rankings and a lot of others, but I think it's just, again, it's a size question. And I hate undervaluing smaller prospects because you then miss out on guys like Logan Stankoven, a guy actually I really believed in, and Lane Hudson. But when it comes to him, it's just like, can he show that consistency that he can handle the more physical elements? And watching him the pre-tournament, I thought he was been Sweden's best player so far. And I love what he's been able to do. Really good in the power play, loves using that middle of the ice. And it feels like he's slippery enough where teams are really struggling with him. With Stenberg, it just you watch him. The season he's having in Sweden is incredible. I don't recall seeing a season like that. Like you look at someone like Anton Fröndell not having as explosive a season. Like that's more of what we expect from a guy who's 18, 19 playing in the Swedish Hockey League. It is a hard league to score in. But watching Stenberg doing what he's doing is really incredible. And I thought Sweden was really lacking those high-end scoring chances when he wasn't in that lineup in the first game. Instead, he was in the press box watching his brother make his NHL debut. So, you know what? I think that's pretty fair instead. But overall, I think the Swedish team looks really good. Like this, they've got a really good offensive group where they cut Valter Lindberg, a guy I thought probably should have been on the team because he was working harder than most other players. But when you can cut a guy like that and still look really good, that's a good situation to be in. My one concern about that team is can the goaltending live up? And so far in the pre-tournament, I'd say they have. They looked really good with Herman Liv, the son of former NHLer Stefan Liv, and Lueve Hjernstam, two goalies that have shown they could steal games, but have also been, you know, the reason Sweden's lost some big games at the same time. So you're really hoping those guys can step up. And I think they're going to be able to hold the fort, but I would be surprised if they don't get a medal. But a gold, that just seems to be the thing that'll lose them every single year.
Yeah, it does always feel like Sweden brings a team full of NHL caliber talent and something bounces the wrong way for them. You know, I've covered this tournament going back to 2009, and you know, when they would come with Jacob Markstrom or Robin Lehner and Victor Hedman, and they have everything you need, and then something would just bounce the wrong way for them. And to your point about Ivar Stenberg, you know, we talk about 17, 18-year-old kids having trouble getting on the ice in the Swedish Hockey League. He leads Frölunda in scoring, so that says a lot about him. But keeping on the topic of the 26 draft prospects, we talked about a few of them, McKenna, the kids from Sweden. Who are you really excited to watch coming up here? Is it, you know, one of the Finnish kids, either Oliver Suvanto or Juho Pipparinen, Albert Smits from Latvia? There's no shortage of talent that we're going to hear their names called in June. Are you excited to see one or a couple of them just in this sort of spotlight atmosphere?
I'm really excited to see Carson Carles. I feel like having seen him in the CHL USA Prospects Challenge, where he was so good in that series, and then watching him throughout camp, like this is a guy that just gets how to play defense. And he doesn't try to do things he's not capable of. He doesn't try to go out there and pull off these incredible moves. He plays to his strengths, but he's got a lot of those strengths. And for a guy that talking to him, he says, like, during the summer, training is not his focus, spending time on his family farm is. Clearly, there seems to be some pipeline of farms and going to the NHL with Brady Martin, one of my favorite prospects in hockey. But with Carl, is that work ethic really shows through. And I think watching him in the pre-tournament, just a guy that's was shutting everybody down. Didn't seem like any situation was difficult for him. And I think if there's an injury higher up in the lineup, he'll be the first guy to get that chance to play higher up. I think that just his ability to shut guys down, and he plays 30 minutes a night in the WHL. Like, he's very capable of that, and I'm looking forward to that. And another guy on defense, Alberts Smits from Latvia. I kept thinking he was Finnish for the longest time because he plays in Finland, but he looks really good in the top Finnish league. And another guy I think could probably play 30 minutes in this tournament every single night and probably will have to. You're going to get a good look at him when he plays against Canada. I think that's where he's going to be the one that is just doing a little bit of everything. And also give a shout out to Tomas Jurenko on Slovakia. He was really good at the U18 World Championships back in the spring. This is a young Slovakian team that could bring back 19 players next year. I think just trying to get these young guys to go out there and play a big role and make sure that they're ready for next year is going to be a big part of this tournament for them. And those are the ones I'm keeping a close eye on.
I don't know. It might be a first, but at last count, I had 11 A-rated skaters competing in this tournament from based on what NHL Central Scouting has evaluated. So 11 A rated, which is kind of high, unusual. So it's great to see too for us, watching these prospects and seeing what they can accomplish in a head-to-head tournament like this against their age group. So it'll be fun. Prediction time, Steven. Let's go at top three teams, and who do you believe will finish maybe top forward, top D, top goalie of the tournament?
So the tough one. Top forward, I'm going with Porter Marton. I feel like that's a guy that's going to be a wrecking ball in this tournament. You remember how good Ryan Leonard was last year? Porter Marton could do a lot of that same stuff. So I'm thinking Marton would be best forward. Top defenseman, I'm going with Cole Hutson. And not just because he was so good last year, but because this is a guy that's just going to win over everybody, I think. He's going to be very important for that American blue line. I think it's actually a really strong blue line. That's maybe their real strength of that group. And Hudson's going to be the most important player. He doesn't have to worry about Zeke Bouyan being in front of him on that depth chart. He's going to go out there and be the guy for the United States. And for top goalie, I'm going to go with Carter George. I think that he's going to be dialed in, and watching him in the pre-tournament and watching him in all the training camps, like, the players are struggling to score on him a lot. And, you're not trying to go out there and embarrass your goalie in practice, but they were trying their hardest to do so. And he was just holding his own there. So those are my predictions. I think, it'll be interesting to kind of see. I think with teams like Sweden and Czechia, they're going to be more team efforts that go out there and really change things. I think like Sweden, it's not going to have one guy stand out. I think you're going to get a lot of guys challenging to be in that top 10 scoring race. And I think Czechia, their blue line in particular, is just going to be unstoppable. So I think it's going to be, those are the four teams that I think are just Canada, USA, Czechia, Sweden that are going to be the ones contending. And it'll be interesting if a team like Finland can bounce up, or Slovakia can punch above their weight, or Latvia could pull off another upset. But it feels like it's truly a four-team race this year.
It's going to be fun no matter what happens. That's the beauty of the World Junior. Something's going to happen. Someone's going to come out of nowhere that we never expected, and it's going to be a great tournament. So looking forward to it starting December 26th. Steven Ellis from Daily Faceoff, thank you so much for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Thanks so much, guys.
Great stuff there from Steven Ellis of Daily Faceoff, Adam. And, one of the things that I'm really curious about, and, we know that Canada is going to be here. The USA is looking for a three-peat. It's going to be difficult, though. The Czechs, as you mentioned in your discussion as well with Steven there, the Czechs are going to be a team to be reckoned with. But Sweden, to me, is like the big question mark here, right? 14 years, that's how long it's been since they last celebrated a gold medal. They've reached the gold medal game four times, yet failed to finish the job each time. Anton Frundell, Ivar Stenberg, who's the projected top three pick in this draft. They entered the tournament with a legitimate championship roster. There's no question about it. So I'm curious to see where Sweden fits in this mix. It's a team that we're going to be watching. It's a team that I'll be following in that Group A field as they are with the United States. So looking forward to see what Trey Connor can accomplish here in this tournament this year with the team that they have. Now, we've also had plenty of content on NHL.com, right, Adam? So the one story that was a lot of fun to do, in addition to our mock draft, which I'll let you get into a little bit, But the games to remember that we posted on NHL.com, you know, 50th anniversary. We took a, you know, we went back a little bit, looked at some of these games that were really dynamic, had some special, you know, circumstances happen in the course of the game, or a special goal or assist, or something that was done by a particular team, which was always a lot of fun. You know, the Russia, you know, 5-3 win in the gold medal game in 2011 against Canada, where they were down 3-0, and Russia battles back in the third period. Artemi Panarin with a pair of goals in that game. That was a lot of fun. And in 2017, I remember the United States 4-3 win in the shootout in the semifinals. Troy Terry, you know, the shootout expert in that game, that made it a lot of fun. He kind of matched Jonathan Toews' masterpiece from 10 years earlier. A lot of good games, and you can, you know, check it out on NHL.com. Any particular, I think I know what game you might have, you know, on your list of top games all time, Adam, but any particular game that stands out to you?
Well, there's two, and I was privileged to cover 2009 in Ottawa. I've been doing this for a very long time. I've never heard a building louder than when Jordan Eberle scored in the semifinals against Russia in Ottawa with 5.4 seconds left in the third period. You know, they're down. The drive for five looks like it's going to get curbed in the semifinals, and he comes up with this loose puck, lands at the feet of the defenseman in the crease. He little deke scores. It felt like I've never seen a building sway the way the entire upper level of Canadian Tire Center swayed by. You could feel an entire country exhale in that moment. And then they go on, they score. Eberle and Tavares score in the shootout. They go on the next day and they win the gold medal. But the roar after Eberle scored, nothing like it. And then a year later, I'm in Saskatoon for the gold medal game. Probably one of the crazier games I've ever seen. Anytime you see all four goalies playing a game, you know something's gone off the rails. Third period, Braden Schenn scores twice in a minute and a half in the third period to turn a two-goal U.S. lead into a tie. They get to overtime, and it's a two-on-one rush with two defensemen. John Ramage, John Carlson. John Carlson scores the overtime winner in the gold medal game in Saskatoon to defeat Canada. You could, as loud as it got in Ottawa the year before, the sound went completely out of the building in that split second with the U.S. winning in overtime in Canada in the gold medal game. Just two remarkable experiences. And you know, again, this is why I talk about the World Juniors the way I do around, you know, people who know hockey or people who don't know hockey, because these moments come up. These are 19 and 18-year-old kids. The emotions are in the red line from the minute the puck drops on Boxing Day, excuse me, till the end of the tournament on January 5th. And it just creates these moments and these memories that are unlike anything else you will see. I mean, the Stanley Cup Finals are huge as well. But for 18 and 19-year-old kids, this is the be-all, end-all, biggest hockey they've ever played. And it just leads to these remarkable, memorable moments that stay with anybody who was in it as well as anybody who was watching it.
Yeah, and, you know, I spoke to Ziv Buyam, another story that's up on NHL.com about his experiences and back-to-back gold medals in 24-25. And Ziv Buyam actually said, you know, I wish I can play in the tournament this year as well. But now we know Ziv is, you know, the trade.
He's otherwise occupied.
Yeah, he's a little bit occupied right now. But, you know, his message to the U.S., by the way, in that story, if you could check it out on NHL.com, was to create your own fun memories. Don't look back on what we did in 24-25. Every team is different. It's a great message. So that's up on .com. We had a list of the top 26 NHL draft eligible players to watch, many of which were discussed with Stephen Ellis on this episode. So you can also check that out. Adam and I have our Group A and Group B field team previews up on the site right now. So you can check that out. But Adam had a great idea that we went with prior to the tournament. I want him to just touch base a little bit on that, which was the mock draft, Adam. The mock draft.
as you know, yes, this will be the 50th anniversary of the World Junior. So I thought, let's create our all-time all-World Juniors team just based off their World Junior stats. And Mike and I went back and forth. Mike won the coin flip, so we had the first choice. Despite that, I still picked the better team. I think that's pretty much undisputed. You can check it out on NHL.com. Look, I mean, you know, Mike, you tried hard. You did the best you could, but you left me Wayne Gretzky, Alex Ovechkin, and Jaromir Jagr. So, like, I don't know. Like, you did fine. You picked good players. You tried hard. But I think if we somehow were able to you know, EA Sports this one out, I think we know who'd win the best of seven.
Well, you know, not too shabby a team that I have here. Peter Forsberg, the all-time leader at World Juniors. Pavel Bure. Everyone knows Pavel, right? He'll be a pretty decent wing alongside Peter Forsberg. I like my pick of the Antonov on D right after you took Ovechkin, because I know Phaneuf and that Canada team, they really did a number on Ovechkin that 2000 team that they 2014 that they had, that really did some damage. And you know, it's not too bad to have Connor Bedard, you know, there based on what he has done in this tournament, over 2 years and the numbers that he's put up as well. So Carey Price isn't a bad option in goal either, Adam. Carey Price and you know, John Gibson, two of the best to ever play at this tournament. So I think, you know, overall, I think we both did a pretty decent job here. It would be interesting to see these teams stacked up one against the other.
It would be fun. And, you know, again, this was just on World Junior stats, so you'll see some guys that maybe you're not used to seeing in the NHL. You know, from my goalies, I took Devin Levi, and all he did in his one World Juniors was win six games with a 0.75 goals against and a .964 save percentage and three shutouts. So, you know, I like my goaltending right there. But again, it was a lot of fun. You can check it out on NHL.com, see, you know, who the smarter general manager was and why it was me. But we are going to have even more content as we go forward here on NHL.com. You can see all of our preview stuff. We're going to have our predictions going up, and you want to give people a sneak preview, Mike. I think we sort of touched on who we think is going to be the big winners here coming up. But let's give people a sneak preview. Who do you think's the gold medal? Is it going to be, will the United States complete the three-peat, or will it go a different direction?
Yeah, I think it's tough on paper at least, right, Adam? And until we see how Canada performs overall, but just based on what we've seen in the pre-tournament, training camp, what the Hunters are doing over there, the coaching staff, it's hard to pick against Canada in this tournament. So yeah, I'm going Canada. I think for my, you know, my silver medalist, I think I'm going out on a limb a little bit. I'm going to take the United States. And usually at this tournament, we know it comes down to special teams and goaltending. It's still a question mark as to who might, you know, be that number 1A bona fide goalie for the U.S. in this tournament. You know, we'll see how that goes, but I do think defensively, as Stephen Ellis was discussing, defensively, I like what the U.S. has to offer here, and I think they have enough here offensively to get the job done. They know discipline is going to play a big part in this. That's what, you know, Coach Motzko stresses to this team. And then for my third place team, I think Finland. I like Finland. The Finns are always a tough out. I know they're in a tough bracket there with the Canada and the Czechs over on your side, but there's always that one team that stands out, and you can't go against Showtime, Adam. Terry Rimpinen, the goaltender for Finland, Showtime. So goaltending's big in this tournament, and I think, you know, Terry has it there for Team Finland.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's going to be that Canada feels like the favorite. I don't know if the U.S. I don't have the U.S. on my medal stand. I just, you know, too many question marks there. You know, look, Cole Hudson's going to be back, so you know what he's capable of on the back end. And Teddy Stiga and James Hagans, and there's a lot of firepower there. But, man, I look at the Sweden team. I look at the Czechia team. I just see so much talent, and I just think there's your Canada, Sweden, Czechia. To me, there's your 1-2-3 as far as how the finishers are going to go. But, look, that's the beauty of the World Juniors. There could be a team that we're not even talking about that's going to surprise everybody and somehow find its way into the medal round and surprise us all. That's the beauty of the World Juniors. Love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And we'll you can check out NHL.com. Our predictions come out on the 25th, December 25th. So you can check those out there. We have, just as we asked Stephen Ellis, you know, each of us projected our top four, D and goalie, and who the best 2026 NHL draft eligible player will be. So you can check that out on NHL.com as well.
Absolutely. And as we said, all the games will be on NHL Network in the United States, TSN in Canada. Stay tuned to NHL.com for all of our stories as we move through the tournament. We will have boots on the ground in Minnesota from start to finish. But for now, NHL draft class is dismissed.